Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And also, reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me and the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can read a variety of articles and things that I have there. And just a number of other resources and all that I have, all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can certainly link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. That's a primary sponsor of our program. And we certainly invite you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information about that during the course of the program tonight. But certainly you can find us if you go to livewithpastoral.com, click on the link for Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can see a few things about us there. And we meet at in a commercial space in Richfield, and it's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I remind people it's Suite 200 because, well, if you're looking for a building with a steeple and all that sort of stuff, you probably won't find us. You have to look for us in a commercial strip. But we're thankful to be there. We've been there just a little over a year. I was talking with somebody this morning about how God brought us in there and just what a blessing it was. But it's kind of nice because before that, we were meeting in a hotel room. And the person I was talking to had visited us years before when we were in our own building. And I was asking if he had any problems finding us because, you know, being in a different location from where he had been when he visited us years ago. And I was talking about how, you know, we had lost the building. We'd never owned the building. And since we weren't the owners of the building, actually the owners lost the building. When the owners had lost the building, we lost a place to meet. And so we had to go on a temporary sojourn in a hotel, which lasted about 13 years. And after 13 temporary years in the hotel, we had an opening to get into a commercial space for not much more than what it was costing us to be in the hotel. And since God opened the door for us there, we decided to go through it. And that was a little over a year ago. And it's been nice being back in our, you know, somewhat in our own place. I mean, it's obviously not our own place, but then again, the other place we were in before we were rented as well. But it was only one building. And we were the only people in it. Now we share a larger commercial strip with several other businesses. In fact, we have a women's health gym type thing next to us, and a salon spa on the other side of us. So we're kind of sandwiched between the two. But we got a couple other things there. I'm trying to think what all's in there. A dentist, a pizza, Chinese food, a sandwich shop, and a coffee shop. So we got all the essentials, I guess, covered. So, but at any rate, we'd love to have you visit us sometime at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, near where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. And you can find out more about that. Just click on our website, livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, we're going to get started here this evening, and let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get going on the program here tonight. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. And pray that you'd use it for your glory tonight. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us encourage people that are trying to walk with you, and help us to point people that are searching to Christ that they might find him as their Lord and Savior as well. And all things, help us lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And I was, before I get into some of our phone calls and everything, somebody had sent me pictures and of the full moon last night, and it's still pretty full out tonight if you're in an area where you can see it, but it's the full strawberry moon. They always come up with these really great names for the moons, the strawberry moon. That's because strawberry season's coming on, and but it was the picture that a friend of mine sent. It looked like a strawberry moon because of the clouds, a little bit of cloud cover, and then the fires that are out in Western Canada, the smoke from them has been circulating through the area here over the past few weeks. And as a consequence of that, the moon really did have a strawberry coloration to it, kind of a pinkish red color because of the smoke and the haze. And so it really, really was a strawberry moon last night. And so it's still pretty full tonight. And I guess the next two full moons are supposed to be coming up in July, later here in June, I guess. If there's another one in June, that's what we call the blue moon when you get two full moons in the same month. But the next two, and going into July and all, are supposed to be what they call super moons, which is where the moon in its orbit around the Earth happens to be at one of its closest approaches to the Earth. And so if you really pay attention and really watch closely, if you're familiar with where the moon rises and sets in relation to things in your area, you should be able to notice a slight difference visually in the size. Sometimes it's hard to notice any difference at all, but if it's in a situation where it's close to the horizon, where you can compare it to things on the horizon and see where it normally would be and what kind of area it would normally cover. Another way is to, like, you know, hold your fingers up and like if the tip of your little finger covers the moon, and then you hold it up and the tip of your little finger isn't covering the moon anymore, you know, it'd be a little bit larger. If it keeps getting bigger, then we got a lot of trouble. But it just kind of goes in that sort of elliptical orbit, which periodically brings it closer during the time of the full moon, which makes for an interesting what they call super moon. So just a little bit of astronomical trivia, which seems like kind of a contradiction in terms, I suppose, astronomical trivia. It's kind of like jumbo shrimp or something like that. But at any rate, it's still kind of interesting to look at it. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we certainly welcome you with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And if you've got a question and want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you're a little reluctant to come on the air and you just want to call in, you can let our board operator, call screener, Derek, know what your question is, and he can fill me in, and we can get to that as well as needed. So, but at any rate, we've got a couple callers already. A couple of our regulars are already lined up, and we've got Nancy lined up first. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. I was very concerned about this debt. I'm trying to relate this to the Bible,
uh-huh.
Or I want you to help me with it. The debt ceiling bill, I understand that it weakened our military, that they cut the military budget, but our military has already been weakened because we've given all these this military equipment to Ukraine, and, and then, of course, Biden has instituted a woke military, you know, with teaching proper pronouns and incorporating transgenders into it. And I mean, it's weak, so a lot of people don't want to go in there. But then they've cut the budget to the military. Now, is there any Bible verse that says that we need to have a strong military? Now, I know, Even if a nation is very small, if they have God on their side, then, you know, many times in the Bible, even a small army can defeat a very evil enemy. But, you know, this country has not been obedient to God, you know, with all the homosexuality and all the evil. So is there any Bible verse? And then I'm wondering also, is the reason that our military has been weakened by the current administration, is that like a globalist agenda, so we'll be equal as all the other countries, so we will not be superior? But anyhow, if you have any Bible verses to say that a country needs to have a strong military and needs to be on God's side, thank you.
Well, yeah, you packed a lot into that, and let me just touch on the debt really quickly. Obviously, you know, debt is a problem, and the budget, like you said, has not, I guess, no increases for the military and all of that. But the thing of it is, you know, government spending is not like your spending. You know, when you establish a budget for yourself and you decide that you're going to save some money, so you cut your spending. You really do cut your spending. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you allocated in your budget, I'm just for the sake of argument, $100 to go out to eat. And you said, you know, I'm going to save some money. I'm going to cut that. So I'm going to only spend $50. So you mm-hmm. cut it in half. That makes sense to you and I. But that's not the way the government does it. The government says, well, we're spending $100. We have allocated. Of course, we had to add a handful of zeros onto the end of that, of course. But we'll just stick with the 100 just for the sake of argument. We're spending $100. Mm-hmm. Next year, we want to spend $200. So, we need to cut the budget. So let's cut it by 50%. So we'll spend $100. We cut the budget 50%. You're still spending the same $100. It's just you cut it from what you thought about spending. And it really gets kind of just frustrating when you look at this. Most of the cuts are cuts and increases.
Are you saying that they didn't really cut the spending for the military, that they just did some kind of double talk? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think there is a certain amount of double talk in there. I don't know if they actually made any real cuts in terms of actual spending, but they certainly cut projected increases, because a lot of times they say, well, we gotta correct for inflation. Of course, the Biden administration has assured us that inflation is not happening. When you go to the grocery store and you perceive that you're getting less for your money and what you're buying, there's less of it and there's a greater price, you only think that's inflation. It's not really. That's just your imagination. But they assure us that inflation's not happening, but they want to adjust for inflation by increasing the budget. And so then they cut from the increases rather than the actual spending, and they get creative with it. But the fact of the matter is, we do spend a lot on the military. It's one of the reasons why we've got one of the best militaries in the world. But the problem is that we have seen is that we have been using up our reserves, and I'm not talking about the reserve forces, but I'm talking about our reserves in terms of equipment, in terms of munitions, in terms of many other things. To give an example, in Israel, for instance, and there's a lot going on in the Middle East right now. In fact, the nation of Israel, they're on alert. They are concerned that they're going to be embroiled in a war with Iran, or at least with Iran's proxies, which is probably more realistic. And I heard recently somebody that was saying that the number of missiles that they've got aimed against them coming out of the north, out of the Golan Heights in Syria and in Lebanon, the amount that Hezbollah's got aimed at them, that they believe that they could rain down, I forget what it was, something like 5,000 missiles a day. But what the point that they were making is, as good as the Iron Dome system is, it would overwhelm it in terms of use up all of the missiles that they shoot out to take out these rockets, and also a related system called David Sling. And when you run out of missiles to launch at the incoming rockets, those defense systems no longer work because it's like having a gun and you're out of bullets. And now the thing that was being said, the person talking said, part of the problem is we agreed with the United States that the production facilities for the anti-missile rockets that Iron Dome depends on would be in the United States, and the production in the United States is down.
Oh.
Now, as a consequence, they are in a situation where they don't believe that they're going to get enough of what they need to supply the Iron Dome system if there's a long-term conflict that breaks out. And that's just a picture of what's happening to us. Here's another thing, too. We had, I believe, at least three bases set up in Israel, and we built them with our money, and we stocked them with supplies of equipment and munitions and things like that to basically be ready in case that there was some kind of conflict and we needed to come to Israel's aid. And we agreed with the thing that Israel would staff the bases in the meanwhile and just sort of rent them, use them as caretakers. And with the thing in the Ukraine, we've emptied those bases of a lot of the munitions and equipment, sent it up to the Ukraine. And that's what we've been doing with a number of other things. So when you look at our production of further things being lower and the reserves and things being sent to the Ukraine, you can see that this conflict in the Ukraine and Russia is systematically disarming the United States. And not just the United States, same thing's happening to Britain. It's happening to other NATO countries. We're sending all of this reserve equipment and munitions into the conflict there between Russia and Ukraine. And you know, we do not have the production facilities to keep up with it. We're going to run short on things. And then you had the sad spectacle of Biden selling our strategic reserve, you know, petroleum supply to the communist Chinese, of all people. Oh. And it's not being filled because production is down. You know, his administration said they're going to stop fossil fuel production. So we're losing the munitions and equipment. We're losing the petroleum. Of course, we're going to go to all electric military. I can just see a tank rolling across the battlefield with their solar panels keeping them in business until the sun goes down or until they get coated with dust and dirt and the smoke and everything. But I can see them grounding our Apache helicopters or something, saying, wait a minute, time out during this battle because we got to charge our batteries, you know, that type of thing. And it's ridiculous. But now let's get to another point here. We are not putting enough young men into the military to be able to carry out all of our military obligations. The military's recruitment efforts, so we have an all-volunteer military right now. The recruitment efforts right now, I think across the board and all the services, is like running 50% or less of what it should be. And so, of course, you know, the Navy decided, well, we'll solve that. We'll get a transgender recruiter, a drag queen recruiter. That's sure to bring the guys in. Yeah. Right. You know, and just different things like that. Meanwhile, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Defense Secretary are fighting, you know, white supremacy in the military as the number one threat against America. It's all this is happening. And, of course, our nation's running out of money, running up debts in the trillions of dollars. And all of this, and we're being told that everything's fine. But as we've talked about before on the program, you know, in order for the globalists to be successful in bringing in their new world order, their global government, like the World Economic Forum is talking about, and other groups working toward this end, the United States is one of the big obstacles. We're too big, we're too powerful, we're too rich, and we're too comfortable. And so we don't see the need as a people, as a nation, we don't see the need to be in a global government. But if they can reduce the America down to the level of most of the rest of the world, then they believe that they will be able to achieve their goals of bringing in a world government. But as it is right now, the United States is a big obstacle. So the military has to be reduced in stature. Our economy has to be reduced in strength.
Mm-hmm.
Our people have to be demoralized. And, you know, we just have to work to, they just have to work to lower America from being the world's preeminent superpower down to just a has-been country. And mm-hmm. then they'll be able to structure and position themselves as the answer to the world's problems. So we do stand in the way. As far as the military goes, I believe it's important. We live in a world that is under the curse of sin. We see in the Bible examples of man's inhumanity and God's judgment for it. You read the book of Judges, and you can see how God raised up judges who led Israel mm-hmm. to military victories over their enemies. And you don't even have to look at the book of Judges. You can look at the book of Exodus, where when God led the Jewish people out of Egypt, mm-hmm. God fought some of their battles, but there's other points where God had them take up arms and defend themselves, especially when you get into the book of Joshua and you look at them going into the promised land and how they had to do battle with different groups. And of course, the other thing, too, that we realize is that we need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to defend others. And that's one of the things that the military does. I mean, we know that the Bible gives us individually the right to self-defense. The Bible talks about people defending the community. And even John the Baptist, you know, when he was talking to some of the soldiers, he didn't tell them, stop being a soldier. He just told them to do their jobs properly without trying to use it as a way to steal from people and extort from people. And so the military, in a sense, is an extension of protecting our community. Is it protecting the whole country? So I believe personally as a Christian, the value of a strong military. We see David was a warrior king. And he mm-hmm. said something about teaching my hands to fight, my fingers to war and my hands to fight, or I maybe got that reversed, my fingers to fight and my hands to war. And he took up arms. Even go back to Abraham when Lot was taken captive along with the kings of Sodom and some of the other cities on the plain by, who was the guy's name, Chedorlaomer. And it says that Abraham raised up, and he had over 100 or so people who were trained men of his servants, that they were mm-hmm. trained in the art of war, basically, that were there to defend Abraham and his family and his holdings. And he got them together, and he went and he rescued his nephew Lot and defeated this king that had defeated other kings. So Abraham was not a man to be trifled with. He was a man of God, but he had trained men in his I don't want to say organization, but in his family group there, his not really a tribe at that point, but he had a lot of servants and things like that, many of them trained so that they could defend him, his family, and his holdings and each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certainly not a pacifist. I don't believe the Bible teaches us to be a pacifist. We're supposed to defend mm-hmm. ourselves, and military properly used is yet another way to defend the innocent.
Can I just ask you a question? Do you think that President Biden, or of course I know he's more or less controlled, he's more like a puppet controlled by people like, we don't know who, Obama or Hillary or somebody. Do you think he realizes that he's achieving the global objectives? Do you think he has any clue? Is he doing this intentionally? Because he's definitely weakening the military, the things that he's doing, you know, by giving away all our, you know, supplies to Ukraine and just making the army, like, very woke.
Well,
do you think he has any concept that he's part of this global agenda, that he's achieving their goals? Or he's just sort of like a blind puppet that people are pulling his strings.
Well, some years ago, he might have had a clue. I don't think he hardly knows where he's at. When he had his fall at the Air Force Academy the other day, it's interesting. They say he tripped over the sandbag. Well, one of the things the Secret Service does is make sure that those sandbags that they're used to hold down various things are in an area so that the president cannot trip over them. And so they make sure that where the president is going to walk is clear. And you can see from the video, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was supposed to do.
Oh.
And even though he's told in advance exactly where he's supposed to walk, where he's supposed to stand, so to trip over a sandbag, he was clearly in an area that he wasn't supposed to be, that he was told not to go to, but he didn't know where he was. And so I don't think he knows much of anything right now.
But the
people that are using him know what they're doing. Some of them are just going along for the ride. I think a lot of what he has done in the past is go along for the money. The information that's been coming out on how much graft that him and his family have been involved in getting out, you know, from foreign governments, China, Ukraine, in different places, just to name a couple. But you know, there's the greed that's involved with a lot of people, but there are people, I think, pulling the strings behind the scenes who are objectively working towards a global government. I think that Obama is one of those, because he's clearly behind the scenes having an influence. And of course, that's what he was trying to do with his administration, is weaken America and get us ready to go into that. I still think and maintain one of the big reasons that the left was so upset with Donald Trump was not that he was Donald Trump. It was that he was not Hillary Clinton, because they had it all planned out. Hillary Clinton was going to come in and her administration would finish off what the Obama administration started, and they would have led us into this global situation. But Trump came in with America, make America great again, America first, and it upset their plans. And now that Biden's in, they're trying to get back on track, moving us in that direction. And of course, we know what the true source of the matter is. As we've said many times before in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world, that's the true source of the direction and the conspiracy and all to move towards this global government. That mystery of iniquity there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's verse 7, I believe it is being hindered, though, the Bible says right now. It's being hindered for a time, and I know we're coming up on the break here in just a minute or two, just without getting into all the details, it's the Holy Spirit working through believers who are called to be salt and light in the world. God is working through us, and in doing so, he's restraining the mystery of iniquity. But when the believers are called out of the world, the event we call the rapture takes place, then he'll have the hindrances removed, and the mystery of iniquity will be able to come to fruition, bringing in a world government, and of course that'll be headed up by what we call the Antichrist. And in 2 Thessalonians, he's called the son of perdition, the man of sin.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Well, Nancy, appreciate the call tonight. And we've got a short break coming up, and we've got another hour and a half to go. We've got some callers waiting, and we will join back with you in just a few moments after our short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And certainly, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. And you can also find out about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can read some articles and listen to past programs there. And I wanted to mention, too, that not only were we brought to you by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is our main sponsor, but we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. Give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And Gus there at East Coast Pizza is willing to help you out if you want to start a pizza place of your own. It wouldn't be a franchise. It would be your own business. But call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you can find out about that opportunity as well, or just simply get yourself one of the best pizzas you've ever had. East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. All right, we're going to get back to our program. As I said, our phone number is 888 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Mark calling in tonight with a question for us. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to the program. What's your question for us tonight?
Mr. Davis, yeah, I've been able to visit you a few times in your facility there.
Yes.
In Richfield. I have a little concern with some of these churches. They're not really doing the calling of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, the gospel is very simple. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men.
Yes.
You know, and then he says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I had some encounter with a certain church, which I'm not going to make any mention any names, but, you know, they have these programs. What are you interested in? Missionary, planting a church, Bible study or whatnot. So I check all the boxes, but it's like nonchalant. You know, they got a few people in their own position, you know, and they're like, they focus, they make themselves important. You know,
mm-hmm.
Time is of the essence. We're called for one mission, to win souls. Okay, and it tends to like people forget, even the churches forget about that, you know. And, you know, I'm trying to, because I know it's called, and a lot of these people don't even want to recognize your calling, you know. And, you know, if I had a church and somebody says, you know, yeah, I would like to do missionary, I would just grab that guy and not let him go. You know, okay, let's go. You know, you gotta think back at Abraham when God told him, go to a land that I will show you. And he left everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of people we need nowadays. You know, do work for the Lord, to risk things, not just take pride in their little church and...
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much save the same amount of people they got. You know, it's like out of 70 billion people in the world, you know, that's a small amount. You know, you got to stretch yourself. You got to go in all the world. And those people are willing to go because, you know, what I'm trying to say, if you're a single person like me, that it's hard. You know, you should have a church sponsor you, you know,
mm-hmm.
the ones that make the money, you know. So... I'll leave it at that and get your intake on that.
Oh, yeah. And as you were talking and talking about our mission, I thinking, you know, when Jesus in Matthew 28, which I think is one of the clearest statements that he made after his resurrection, before he ascended up into heaven, it says in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Mm-hmm. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we look at that. We have this command to go, and we see that elsewhere in the Scriptures. In fact, just this morning I was preaching in John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the disciples. He had just talked with the woman at the well. They came to talk to him after she went into the city. And as he's talking to them, they're concerned about physical food. And in verse 34, John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And so there are people out there that need to be reached with the gospel. And elsewhere he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. I think that's in Matthew 19, but Matthew 9, I guess. But when we look at that, you know, the point is a lot of people aren't going, are they? We're content with, I got my salvation, I got my, you know, I got my Christian-themed posters and books and blankets, and I'm comfortable, and I got my Christian-themed coffee cup, and I'm comfortable. But instead, we're supposed to get out there and we're supposed to be going into the harvest field. We're supposed to be making a difference. And I like what Jesus said to the disciples after telling them that the fields are white under the harvest. I point this out to our church this morning, verse 36. He said, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, which is great. But then he says that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And so here's the idea. You know, some people are going to spend more time perhaps in sowing the gospel seed. Some people may spend more time reaping the harvest. And then there's going to be some people in the meanwhile who are watering and cultivating. And God uses everybody to come together. So when people come to Christ, they that sowed and they that reap both rejoice because you both had a part in it, right? And it's because in both cases, you were willing to get up and go out and answer the Lord's call to go out into the world with the gospel and to try to reach people. And there's various ways to do it, of course. You know, there's Bible tracts. There's just being a personal witness. There's some church with organized soul-winning times. Our church, you know, we sponsor the radio program where we can reach out and hopefully reach people. And at the same time, of course, we're trying to encourage believers. And then every summer, coming up next month in July, we have our annual outreach at the Summit County Fair. Our church has a booth. And we have a number of gospel tracts, and we're there to hopefully talk to people. Remember, they went out into the highways and they went into the markets and they went into places where the people were, and they told them about Christ, and that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? So, there's a lot of opportunity, that's for sure, isn't there?
Well, God's going to look at the hearts, even all these churches, what they did, you know. You know, like you said, if they want to just be there, be cozy, and you know, he says, "I send you as sheep and among the wolves." You know, So I see like there's no this risk. You know, the guy that called me back when I told him, you know, like we're supposed to have lunch and we're supposed to. I said, you know, like I feel, you know, I'm 65 now, and I thought I was 30 yesterday. You know, time flies.
Yes,
you know, this is nothing. When we consider that, you know, at one time people lived 900 some years on this earth, and then they lived around 400. Now we're under 100, you know, practically. And
we're that 310.
It don't mean nothing. It's just that this is not the place that we're gonna, you know, it's not our home. And so what I'm trying to say, you know, we got to get some urgency to these people, not play this cozy church and, you know, tickle people's ears. I mean, they're going to be held more accountable, you know, because you know, even when Paul's planted all those churches and he only praised one of them, he says, you lost your first love. In other words, you didn't put God the most important. You know, you got in a, and I believe there was always something, at least in my life, there was a situation that made me call to God, you know, reach out. You know, a guy gets in trouble, ends up in jail. All of a sudden, there's a God. You know, pray to God, help me, Lord. But we got it. We got to always, whatever led us or drew us to the Lord. You know, we got to never forget that.
Yeah.
You know, and see the importance of it, and of course the salvation and everything. You know, don't put your faith in the perishables. That's what this earth is, perishable. Mm-hmm. You know, people got to wake up. You know, we want eternity, and we need to. You know, I just, like I said, I still have faith. I think God is like, that's why I've been to many churches. And, you know, he uses this to open my eyes. I had to go through these trials, but I still depend on him. You know, like he won't let you down. You know,
exactly.
I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I want to let him. But I'm just like a little bit disappointed. There are too many of these, they become pastors and they like, you know, they don't. A lot of churches, trust me, they don't have nobody to take over because they never prepared anybody, you know, and even like black churches, guy gave me a list, he goes, go over there, and he goes, like, they don't have anybody, because when the guy got older and retired, you know, nobody cared about passing down, you know, the word to other pastors to lead the congregation, and so It's a little bit sad, you know.
Well,
I'm sure you're going to get other callers. Thank you, Pastor Al. Like I said, I've been up there in Richfield a few times, and I don't know if you remember me. My name is Mark, and I visited, but I've been, you know, I want to do the Lord's will today. You know, I think, you know, he says, what is it? Wise is the one that wins souls. You know, that's what he's going to bless us on.
It's absolutely.
You know, you know, I want to hear good and, you know, well done, my good and grateful servant, you know. But the only way we're going to serve, as you mentioned a little while ago, when we do things for others, when we try to win others, when we try to pass the word, you know, and not just hold our position you know.
Yeah. Well, we do what we can, and we certainly pray the Lord is going to call others in. And I think in addition to praying that God calls others, pray that people respond to God's call as well.
Yeah,
it's the age in which we live, partly, but it's also just human nature. We just like to be comfortable. To really make a difference for the Lord, we got to get out of that comfort zone, and we have to do things. So
that's why, like my thing was, even the groups I've been in Bible studies, like everybody's in that position. You know, make sure, like, if I retire, I got a roof over my head, I got food to eat. Well, you know, that's that comfort zone. I mean, are we put in the search just to, you know, have food and survive? I mean, that's not, you know, that's not a calling, you know. But it's that risk, you know. Like, why are most of the apostles that were killed? Okay, beheaded, boiled in oil. And
right.
Stone, you know, and even Jesus, we killed him because, you know, he says, I brought a sword against the world. You know, he didn't bring peace because the world was wicked. You know, you're of your father, the devil, you know, lust of the flesh. You know, if he patted us on the back, you're good. Then why would he die for us? I mean, he gave his life because we all have sinned, you know, and the thing is that people don't realize that they don't like to be offended. You know, that's why they kill him. They were offended, you know, what he did, but he had to do what he had to do, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, and of course that was so that we could have salvation. But again, Romans 12, and I'll leave you with this, in Romans 12, starting verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A sacrifice is given, you know, usually, and was killed because it was given totally to the Lord when you sacrificed it. But he wants to give us ourselves as a living sacrifice, giving ourselves totally over to him, holy and acceptable unto God. And he says it's our reasonable service. And, you know, that is something we need to remember.
Davis, I support your ministry. And thank you for spending, you know, devoting your life to the work of Christ.
Well, thank you for the call, Mark. I appreciate that. And stay in the battle, stay in the fight, and keep praying the Lord will call others into the harvest and that those others will answer the call and that they, too, will present themselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is our reasonable service. Thank you so much, Mark. God bless to you. And have a great week coming up here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry, who's waiting patiently for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, good to always hear from you. I was going to make a little bit of a correction. I was actually going to make that correction last week when I was talking with you. I think that I said Memorial Day is on August the 1st.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for Canada?
Yeah, for Canada, but it's actually June the 1st, and it's Canada Day.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, isn't today Canadian Armed Forces Day? I got a note in my calendar. I just happened to look at my calendar. You know, we had here in the States, we had Armed Forces Day on May the 20th, and I got a note on my calendar here. They got one of these little printed things on there. June 4th, Canadian Armed Forces Day. And certainly As we've talked before, you know, remember in World War One, World War Two, you know, the Canadians on a per capita basis, it probably sacrificed more people for the cause, you know, to save our freedom than just about any of the other allied nations. So we do owe a debt of gratitude to the Canadian Armed Forces. And if today's Canadian Armed Forces Day, certainly we want to salute our fellow armed forces there in Canada, because you know, think about it, Canada, United States, you know, the North American Air Defense System, you know, NORAD, that's that's out there headquartered in Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. It's a combined effort, United States and Canada. And during the Cold War, Canada allowed, you know, the building of the dew point, allowed the radar systems to look over, you know, the horizon towards Russia as an early warning system. And we in America owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Canadian Armed Forces. And so we certainly salute them here.
Our real celebration is on November 11th.
Yes, and of course that's a big one as well. Veterans Day in the United States, and Armistice Day, I think a number of people call it, the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month.
Memorial Day.
Yeah, we remember the end of the war there. That's a big day here. Veterans Day.
Yeah, is on November 11th.
Yeah, and I always point out that at least the way we have it set up here in the States is we have Armed Forces Day to remember those who are serving, and we have Veterans Day to remember those who have served, and then we have Memorial Day to remember those who gave their life in service. And so it's not really three Veterans Days, even though veterans are recognized, and it's not really three Armed Forces Days, even though Armed Forces are recognized at all three of them, but it's the emphasis on each three of them, you know, one for those who have served, one for those who are serving, and another one for those who essentially never came home. They gave their life in service. And as we talked before, that ought to remind us of what Christ has done for us, and a reminder that we too ought to have that same attitude, being willing to give ourselves. If somebody could do that for secular freedoms, why wouldn't we do that for spiritual and eternal freedoms? So,
yeah, and we shouldn't be pacifists.
No, a number of people have that mindset. I know that the Bible talks about turning the other cheek, but turning the other cheek is not being a pacifist. It's being willing to take insults. It's being willing to take being harassed. But there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't defend yourself. So.
Right. And we have every nation has a right to defend themselves.
Yes, yes, and like I said, you see, as talking with Nancy earlier in the program, we see that in the scriptures, we see people defending their nation, we see people defending their community, and so we need to keep that in mind. We have an obligation, and even government officials, the Bible says, one of the things that they do, in fact, just thought of that, and I know we're going to run out of time before the end of the break here, or the end of this hour, in Romans chapter 13 here, where he talks about government officials, and let me see if I can find this real quick here, verse number 4, where he says, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister, the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath against him that doth evil." The sword that he's talking about there is a means of using lethal force. A means of using lethal force to execute wrath against those that do evil in order to defend the innocent, in order to defend victims, in order to defend those who are being preyed upon by evildoers. The sword was a like the gun. It's an instrument of lethal force. They weren't carrying the sword around just to look cute. They weren't carrying the sword around just to have sword play or target practice. It was a means of administering lethal force when necessary. And Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, plainly says it here, that they do not bear the sword in vain, which means it's not an empty symbol. They have it. It's there to be used when necessary, he says, to be a revenger, as a minister of God, to be a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that do evil. That's a pretty sobering statement when you read that.
Yeah, and I've been studying Romans chapter 13 just recently.
Yeah.
Well, today we've been talking about it at the church.
Right.
And Romans 13.
And when it's talking about a government official here, this doesn't mean necessarily the king or the governor or the prince or something like that. This means the government officials. This is why the police officers carry an instrument of lethal force. This is why the military members carry an instrument of lethal force, because they are agents of the government serving as ministers of God to us for good, to defend us, right, to protect us, and to carry out God's wrath, to revenge God and execute wrath upon them that do evil. And, you know, it's...
And we're not supposed to fight against the government.
Yeah.
We shouldn't, well...
Well,
we have the right to.
No, there's a limit, though, and we've seen that before, yeah. You know, as Paul or John and was it Peter and John said, we ought to be God rather than men. When the government stays where it's supposed to be, we obey it. But when it strays out of that line, there are lines of authority, and when they transgress their authority, we go with the higher authority, which, of course, is God and His Word. And, of course, people in the military learn that, the hierarchy of authority. You can't just use, like some of the Nazis tried to say, well, I was just following orders. We're responsible to a higher authority, which is God. Hey, Terry, we're running out of time here. We've got the break coming up, and we've got another hour in the program. I hope everybody will stay tuned tonight and join us here after the break. We've got in a few minutes.